Hey, well, good morning, Brave family. Good morning to Brave Church, all of you online joining us. Thank you for being here as well, and thank you for joining us in person and being a part of this service today as we launch a new series called Frequency, which, of course, is all about hearing God's voice. So we'll jump into that in just a few minutes. If you're at home, we did make some notes available for you to print off, and so you can do that. You can just go to the website. We made some printable notes there. If you're, of course, here, you should have your notes with you, so you can get those out in just a minute. We'll walk through all of that together. But before we jump into the talk, I want to just update you on some things that our staff has been discussing this past week and our leadership of our church. This is something that we'll make sure that we will probably do this before each talk. I'm sure I'll have an update just because with all that's happening, we want to keep you in the loop, what's happening in our church and decisions that are being made. So one of the things that I've got to address is, of course, what's happening in our city, in our state of Florida, wherever you're located, of course, but right here in Florida, the numbers in our county, the numbers are on the rise. And so with that being said, each day we are doing our best to, of course, review. We're watching it all the time. My own family members have different, not my wife or my children, but my brother's wife. My brother was infected with the coronavirus, and so we've been praying for him. And so it's hit close to home for us personally in different ways. But one of the things that we're doing is continuing to contemplate on, do we gather, do we not gather? And so for today, we've chosen to gather in person as safely as we can. We're running a second service as well. But just know that we are taking this week by week. And so what I'm asking for and what we're asking for is your grace, that if we decide to go back to only online for a period of time, just give us grace in that. And I want to make it clear, that does not mean we're not people of faith. That has nothing to do with that at all. In fact, I actually believe that it requires more faith to not meet in person right now, because the faith that I would have to have and we as a staff would have to have in you, that the faith that you would continue to pray even when we don't gather, the faith that you would continue to read your word and love one another and pray for one another, encourage one another even when we don't gather. We have to have faith that you would continue to give and support and be obedient to God's word even if we didn't gather. It still requires faith either way. And so just want to just say to you, we ask you for your grace. If we were to make a decision to not meet next Sunday and only be online, just be aware. As of now, we're going to continue to go in person and online, but just stay tuned with what's happening in our church. I want to encourage you to do that, because one part of my job, and I wrote this down, is to protect God's people. It's part of my job. I take that seriously, and I don't want to do anything at all. I love you way too much to put you in harm's way at all. And at the end of the day, as your leader and pastor, I take that responsibility very highly. So just know that's the heart behind it. Most of it all centers around, of course, safety. And so if for any reason, by the way, you don't feel safe or you feel like you've come into contact, by all means, stay home. Keep enjoying the services online. And we encourage you to participate that way. But while we're here, we are wearing our masks, of course. And from the moment you get out of the car to the moment you go back. So we appreciate that as well to keep everybody safe and feeling safe. And so thank you for that. Also, I just want to say a few things. If we do decide to go back to online only for a period of time, if that happens, I want to encourage you to continue to engage by watching online. Keep filling out connection cards, letting us know your prayer requests, keeping us updated, send us emails. All of that information, of course, is available to our website. I was talking with somebody recently who attends and is part of our church, and I said, he'd been able to watch online. Oh, they said, how do I do that? I thought, really? You know, after all this time, go to our website. We put it up all the time on the screen. We are brave.church. It's been around forever. So just, it's really easy. We've tried to make this as simple as possible. Parents, keep your kids engaged. Like Deanna said, it's so true. Keep them engaged by going to our kids' Facebook page. We have that. We have our website, of course. If you have any questions, again, that information is available online. You can email us and let us know whatever questions you have, parents. So keep your kids engaged there. Continue to support giving in your tithes and offerings. We're talking with some local churches and different friends of mine that are pastors around our nation. And here's the reality. I just want you to know what's happening in the kingdom of God, right? Because this isn't just about Brave Church, but the kingdom of God. Churches giving is on a decline. Talked to a pastor recently, he said 60% down in giving. You know, just because they're not gathering in person. And I thought to myself, are you kidding me? And I wrote this down and I just thought, our obedience to God does not waver based on our circumstances. God's word is still the same. It hasn't changed. We're just maybe being tested in our faith. When we don't receive, do we continue to give, right? But that's a whole other thing. But just encourage you to continue to be obedient to God's word. And then also, of course, stay tuned to our website. Check your emails. Follow us on social media as we continue to give updates with what we're doing as our service and services times and how we're doing that. All right? Love you. And let's jump into the talk. But I want to pray for us. Jesus, we thank you so much for your word today. And I pray, Father, that as I deliver this word, Lord, that it would be from you. Father, let your Holy Spirit speak. We open our hearts, our ears, and our minds to you, Jesus. Let today not be just another Sunday, but a day that our hearts are forever molded and shaped and changed by your Spirit. In Jesus' name, everybody said amen. Well, Frequency, excited about this series. It's all about hearing God's voice. Over the past 4 years in leading this church and church planting, there's been a constant phrase that I've used in my home, and I don't think I've ever told you this from the stage, knowing that it may concern you, that this is something that I say often. And the statement that I often say at my house, or for anybody that knows me, is, I have no idea what I'm doing. And I hope you laughed at that. But have you ever felt that way before, that you really don't know what you're doing? I remember telling one pastor friend when I started the church, I said, I feel like I'm in a helicopter, and I'm trying to fly this helicopter, and I have zero clue how to do it. And he said, well, that's your problem. You're the one trying to fly the helicopter. Just let God do it. And I thought, yeah, you're right. Makes sense. But anyways, there are seasons in life where you can feel like, man, I have no idea what I'm doing. I barely do a good enough job just trying to be a good husband, let alone pile on 4 children on top of that, and then also the church and just job and life. And there's just days that I look up to God and I think, man, I have no idea what I'm doing. And when I say this, here's what really my heart is saying on the inside. It's the statement, God, I need to hear you. Have you ever been in a situation in your life where you're just kind of saying, God, I need to hear you on this? I'm making a decision. I'm not sure where to go, not sure what to do, not sure how to move. God, I need you to speak to me in regards to this. I've been there many times in my life, and I realize that I can't do anything without him. We know that's in John 15, of course, and I've come to realize this more and more and more over the past several months. The necessity of his involvement is critical when it comes to making decisions for the church, for my family, and so many other daily decisions that are having to be made, and I cannot do it without hearing God's voice. In fact, I believe it's one of my greatest responsibilities in leading this church is to hear God's voice. What is God telling us to do? And then I have to channel that through our staff and other leadership, and we do our best to hear God. God, what are you saying to us? Where do you want us to go? How do you want us to operate? What do you want us to do? What do you want us to preach on? All the things that we could. Even as I wrote this message today, I could hear God say to me, Ricky, listen to me as you write the message. Deliver the message that I have for them. Now listen, he told me this, not the one that you want to give. Don't let part of your flesh get into the midst of it. Let my spirit be the one delivering this message through you. Because I have a message for the people that I want to deliver through you. And most of the time, that message is also for me too, of course. In fact, every time it is. So, if you're taking notes, write this down. 2 key truths about hearing God's voice that I need you to know up front, okay? The first, I'm just calling them key truths because that's a preacher line. I don't know. I'm just key truths. All right, here we go. The first one, we hear God because we are designed to hear God. I need to tell you this. Hearing God is not weird, all right? Somebody's been, do you hear God? And it kind of can feel weird. Yeah, I hope you do too, because we were designed to hear God. In Genesis, it starts out with God spoke and then creation occurred, right? And so he creates humanity. And you see him engaging in conversation with Adam and Eve, the first humans created. We were designed to communicate with God or to hear God. I want you to know that you're designed to hear the voice of God. In ministry, one of the most common questions that I get as a pastor, and I've for 14 years now, and this is by far the most asked question amongst all pastors. We all know it, talk about it, teach on it occasionally, of course. And that's always about hearing God's voice. How do you know if it's God talking to you? It's typically the way people ask, how do I know if it's God or if it's me? How do I know? Raise your hand if you've ever wondered, is it me or is it God, right? And most of us have. And so this is a common question. So I'm excited to teach on it. And I hope over the next several weeks that it does encourage you a little bit. My hope is that when this series is over, you'll have a variety of strategies to discern God's voice, have a better understanding of His voice, and most importantly, that you would be inspired to pursue His voice every day for the rest of your life. That is my hope in this series for you. And so, I want to ask you a question, and here's the question. All right, this is rhetorical. You don't have to shout it out, but what is the difference between someone who has a relationship with God and someone who does not have a relationship with God? What's the difference? I'll give it a minute. Okay, there it is. All right, ready? All right, here's the answer. Communication. Now, think about that for just a minute. Hopefully you guessed that. What's the difference between somebody who has a relationship with God and someone who does not have a relationship with God? Some of you probably started to spit off different denominations. Well, you know, and they don't have a relationship with God. No. There are people who attend non-denominational churches, Baptist churches, and all kinds of churches who don't communicate with God. And communication is absolutely necessary to have a relationship with God. So the second key truth about hearing God's voice is this: a relationship with God demands communication with God. You cannot say that you have a relationship with God and never communicate with Him. If you're married, try telling your spouse, we're going to stop communicating, but it's going to be a great marriage. Your wife, men, might say, that'd be great, actually, if you just stop talking. But a relationship with God demands communication with God. In other words, you can't say you have a relationship with God if you never talk with Him. Every relationship in your life demands a level of communication. In fact, the level at which you communicate with someone can often indicate the level of that relationship. Well, I, of course, communicate with my wife probably more than anyone outside of God. And by default, our relationship is very intimate and close, and we know each other and all of that stuff. And then yet you have other people in your life who you don't communicate with a lot, and you probably say we're not as close. So a relationship with God demands communication with God, okay? Here's what Jesus said about His communication with His followers. This is what Jesus said about it. He said, my sheep listen to my voice. I know them, and then they follow me. Did you catch the key word, listen? My sheep hear me. You are designed to hear God. So if you say, well, I can't hear God, I need someone else to hear God for me, you are wrong. Jesus said, you're sheep, and my sheep, they listen to my voice. Now, you may struggle with giving God time to listen to your voice, but Jesus said, I've given you ears to hear my voice. God has wired us to communicate with Him. Jesus refers to His people as sheep who follow their shepherd. When you become a follower of Jesus, I just want you to know you have now become a sheep. You are sheep. Did you know that? I just thought we should start greeting each other that way. You know, the next time you meet somebody in church, hey, welcome here. You're sheep. We're sheep. You know, I'm a sheep. You're a sheep. And I thought maybe we should put that on our connection cards. We'd probably be more theologically accurate. You know, instead of saying, I've decided to receive Christ today as my Savior, I've decided to become a sheep today. Just thought that'd be kind of funny. Be interesting to see how people respond to that one. I wonder if we'd get any check marks off on that, you know. I'll be a sheep. Sure, why not, you know. People would probably leave and think we're just a really weird, awkward church. But I'm a sheep, and you're a sheep. Sheep, by their nature, need a guide. And followers of Jesus need to be led by the voice of God. Listen to me. Anyone who is a follower of Jesus, I want you to hear this, has the ability to hear God's voice. Anyone who is a follower of Jesus has the ability to hear God's voice. Now just wrap your head around that. The creator of the world, the one who formed you, knit you together, the one who put the stars, set the boundaries for the oceans, put it all in place, you actually have the ability to hear his voice. You do. Jesus would not have told you that if it were not so. The problem is that sheep don't always listen to the shepherd's voice. That's the reality. There are lots of reasons why we don't listen to his voice. One is because we don't take the time to listen. Another, maybe we hear him, but we simply refuse to follow his instructions because we think our plan is better. You ever told God, God, rethink that, come back to me next week? You know, you're like, you know, that doesn't make sense, God. Has God ever told you to do something that didn't make sense? And you're thinking, you know, let's keep talking about it. God's like, no, we don't need to keep talking about it. I'm right, you're wrong, just wait for you to come around here. We need to learn that God wants to speak to our hearts. Sometimes, and this is so true, we would rather follow the advice of a friend than the voice of God. Who do you call first when you're in need of something? When you're in need of a big decision, who do you go to first? More times than not, we go to our friends. And what's really crazy is sometimes we go to social media. I mean, you know, I need some help. Got a big decision here. And I just thought, well, if you go to God, he could probably resolve it much faster than social media can. You know, he's got probably a good answer about what it is you're trying to work out. There are all kinds of reasons why we don't listen to God's voice. But one of the most common reasons followers of Jesus, listen to me, can't hear God's voice, here's why, it's because they haven't learned to hear his voice. It's one of the major reasons why people who love God, they do, come to, you know, they give their life to God, they've been baptized, they attend church, but they still struggle with hearing God's voice because they haven't learned to hear his voice, and that's what this whole series is about. So here's a key question to consider. What is the good news about hearing God's voice? Ready? Here's the answer. Hearing God's voice can be learned. I just want you to know, hearing God's voice can be learned. You can learn to hear God's voice. Now, the best way that I can illustrate this and kind of prove this to you in some way is how we learn the voices of those we do life with. And eventually, the people we do life with, we come to know their voices very well. In fact, so well, sometimes we know what they're going to say before they ever even say it. Right? You ever done that with your spouse, you're married, or your children? You just kind of know what they're going to say before they say it. Your employer, you know what they're going to say before you say it. You just kind of lean that way. I've also learned that I do this with Krista a lot, my wife. You know, I know what she's going to say before I say it, and then I just start to interrupt her, and I've learned don't do that, just let her say it, and, you know, it's probably better and wiser for me to do that. But I just want you to know hearing God's voice can be learned, no different than you learn someone's voice that you do life with. You know what they're going to say. You know what they're thinking about it. Well, the more you get to know them, the more you communicate with them, the more you understand them, the more you learn how they think and how they operate, and it's the same thing with God. Let me say this to you as a really maybe hard statement to grasp. Hearing God's voice is easy when you know him. You know, you got to think about it that way, that Jesus said, "My sheep listen to my voice." And then they follow me, right? They hear me. I mean, God does still speak. So it's good news that we get to learn. That we say, well, I got to learn how to hear God's voice. Well, good. Then you're in the right spot, all right? So before I teach you, though, on learning God's voice or teach you about how to learn God's voice and some ways to do that, I first want to teach you on the motivation behind why we want to hear God's voice. So you just got to get the motivation a little bit, and I'll explain that to you, and I'll tell you a brief story to do that. So here's the motivation or the why. Why would we want to hear God's voice? And this story, I think I've spoken this story before, but I thought I'll share it again because I think it illustrates it very well. One man asked another man, "Do you have what it takes to deal with what's going to happen to you in 10 minutes from now?" I want you to think about that. Do you have what it takes to deal with what's going to happen to you 10 minutes from now? And of course, the other man said, "Well, no, because I don't know what's going to happen to me 10 minutes from now." To which the first man said back, "Correct, but God does." Say, what's the motivation? God knows what's going to happen to you 10 minutes from now. Why would you not want to know what God has to say about a particular scenario or situation in your life? Now, listen, I'm not saying you have to find out what does God want you to eat for lunch. At some point, you want your children to grow up and just learn to eat healthy and not call you about everything, right? If you get to that place, I've talked to people who are empty nesters, and they're just like, you know, at some point, you got to leave me alone. You know, I get that. And God certainly would never say, leave me alone, but there are decisions he allows us to make on our own that we don't have to go to him about every single thing that we're doing. However, he is standing post ready to hear whatever it is that's on your heart, because he's a loving father who wants you to communicate with him. He waits for your phone call, and he wants to talk to you. And you have the ability to hear his voice. David actually paints a really clear picture of this in Psalm 23. It's a very famous passage, and I'll read it through its entirety. It says this, "The Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right paths for his name's sake." All right? Says in verse 4, "Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me." Says, "You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Now here's what I'll say. I did a whole series on this back in July of last year. It's still available online, called Desert Growth. And it was all about the seasons of desert seasons in our life. And I encourage you to go back, listen to it. It's one of the things that I taught about that in that series was this statement about green pastures. When we first see the terminology of green pastures in Psalm 23, verse 1, it sounds great. And you've probably heard it that way, green pastures. Oh, it's this beautiful land. It's this beautiful area. God, I can't wait for the green pastures. You know, there's this abundance of blessings on my life. But when you see the picture correctly, I don't know, I know we're having some technical issues. This is actually the picture of a green pasture. So I want to say this to you. Leave it up. So here's David writing. This is the environment of which he's looking at. And he says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures, and he leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul, and he guides me along the right paths for his name's sake." This is the green pasture. Hope you can see that available online. If you can't see it online, it's a little bitty shrub right around here. This is the green pasture. This is what David would have been getting a glimpse of. And he uses the word paths because oftentimes shepherd, of course, would guide the sheep on certain paths or certain trails, or there'd be grazing trails. And so what it is teaching is that, is David is saying, whenever I feel like I'm in this desert season, I've learned something about you, God. You give me just enough to keep going. Just enough that I'll keep depending upon you. This is not probably exactly what you thought in your mind when you read about green pastures. But isn't this what life looks like more often? Isn't this a picture, a better picture of what life is like and what many people feel like right now? Like they're in this desert. And it's it's hard terrain, and there's lots of questions, and it feels like, when am I ever going to catch a break, and when is this whole thing going to be over, and how am I going to get through this, and all the decisions, and ups and downs, and the weather is beating me, and I'm dying of thirst, and I just need a little something to eat. I just need a little community in my life. I need a little hope in my life. I just need one answer. I just need one breakthrough. And David is saying, this is the green pasture that God sends me to. And when I follow his voice, eventually I end up here. And I get just enough to keep me going if I just keep following his voice. Many are exhausted mentally, physically, and spiritually. Depression is settling in for many people. The anxiety is never ceasing for some. Can't sleep at night. Loved ones are sick, and some are losing hope. And they feel like they're in this desert season. But David is saying, I have really good news, Psalm 23. He is saying, I've learned something about God when you're in the desert. Write this down. That I've learned this, that the desert is the place where we find nowhere else to turn other than God. That is great news. It's great news that God will allow us to go through a desert season, because oftentimes it's in the desert where we have nowhere else to turn, and he knows that, and so he says, come home to me. This is where you belong, in my arms, under my care, under my leadership, under my guidance. Oftentimes when we hit bottom, people who have never cried out to God before a day in their life begin to say, God, if you're there, I need your help. Many people who are losing loved ones, never gave God a second thought, now are considering to call out to this God that many people have spoken of, who has the power to heal and restore life. The desert is a place where we find nowhere else to turn other than God. God will allow us to face deserts financially, physically, and spiritually, all to remind us of who the provider is, who the sustainer is, and who the giver of life is, because he loves us that much. Church, we must pay attention to this. You must hear me. When you are at the place where you have nowhere to turn other than God, you are right where you need to be. When you're at the place where you have nowhere else to turn other than God, even though it may feel like you're in a desert, go back to the photo for me for just a minute. Your life could feel like this, and you're completely and utterly alone, and there's nothing around you, and you don't see a way out, and all you have is God. You are in a perfect position for a miracle breakthrough in your life spiritually. You are primed and ready for a breakthrough and a miracle. You are right where you need to be. Think about that. It's phenomenal how much God loves us. Before the nation of Israel received the promised land, do you know where God sent them? To a desert for 40 years. And I pray that this virus will not be around for 40 years. But I want you to know, if it were, God was trying to teach the nation of Israel something. And we have reaped the rewards of the lessons that the Israelites learned in the wilderness for generations and generations to come. And we have benefited from those lessons. He loved the nation of Israel so much that he said, if I give you the promised land, you'll forget about me. So not yet. I love you too much than to lose your soul to hell. So I'd rather send you through a desert to get your attention on me so that I can give you all the things I've been trying to give you for many years. And he was trying to give the Israelites what? Freedom, hope, peace, comfort, provision, protection. And he sent them to a desert to teach them the lessons so they would learn to depend on him as they received all they needed. In fact, it's in the desert seasons of life where we learn to listen. When God wants to shape and mold a nation or a person, he often sends them through a desert to do it. That's just history fact. I am not saying God's the one that caused this. I'm just telling you history. History is when God wants to teach a nation or a group of people a lesson, he's often sent them through desert seasons in their life. Look at Job. You want to teach Job a lesson? Allow a desert season. You want to teach a nation a lesson? A desert season. In fact, his own son Jesus, before he began the ministry, you know where he sent him? To the desert. To shape him and mold him for 40 days. It's just history. It's how God operates. Because he knows it's where we'll depend on him fully. Our world is in a desert, no question. And although it may feel like you're in a desert, God has you right where he wants you because he is primed and ready for a supernatural growth. The desert is where God teaches us to remember who our provider is, sustainer is, and who the giver of life is. And as our world faces the season of desert, there is no greater need that we have to hear God's voice. The tension is, if you don't know his word, you won't know his voice. If you don't know his word, you won't know his voice. Moses wrote this down in Deuteronomy 8. Here's what he wrote, verses 1 through 3. He said, Moses wrote this down, "Be careful to follow every command that I'm giving you today, so that you may live and increase, and may enter, possess the land promised on oath to your ancestors. Do you remember how the Lord your God led you all the way through the wilderness for those 40 years? Now I want you to notice these words. He sent this nation through this wilderness, and he says, do you remember this? There may be a day we look back on this season in history, and we say, do you remember this season? And look at the tension in this, the thing that you, doesn't feel well, but it's certainly true. He says, remember how the Lord your God led you all the way through the wilderness. And of course, many are like, yeah, my grandfather told me about that. I remember those were hard times. I mean, millions died in this desert. It was terrible. We didn't have a breakthrough. It was hard. It was rough. We kept waiting for this promised land, but it just didn't come. He says, do you remember that? And he says, 40 years. And then he tells them, here's why God did that. Okay? This is why God led them in the desert. He said, to humble them. To shut their mouths. And focus on God, me, the creator, the giver of life. I'm going to humble you. Oh, and a desert is going to test you. It's going to test your faith. It's going to test where your hope is. In order, he says, to know. Why would he do that? To know. Why? But to know. To know what? To know what was in your heart. So the desert reveals your heart. So I'm going to let you go through a desert to get to the heart. Because I don't really care about the physical body, because that thing is going to go away. I care about the soul inside the body, because that thing can go on forever with me. So I'm trying to get to the heart. So I'll send you through a desert to fix the heart. And whether or not you would keep my commands, even in the desert. Will you keep my commands even when you're in a desert? Will you keep worshiping me and praising me and giving to me and doing the things I've required you to do even when you're in a desert? He's teaching. This is the same verse that Jesus quotes in Matthew 4 when he's tempted by Satan. Jesus goes back to these words. Matthew 4, he's in his wilderness. He's in his desert. And here's what Jesus says to Satan when he's tempted the first time. It is written, man should not live by bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. He quotes it. Then he's tempted again by Satan. And he begins with these famous words. It is also written, do not put the Lord your God to the test. Then after being tempted a third time, Jesus responds back in Matthew 4:10. For it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only. I want you to notice that in all three situations, Jesus begins with these words. It is written. If you don't know his word, you won't know his voice. And Jesus, in all three scenarios in the desert season, said, I can quote what is written. And here's why this matters so much. All three men that we just talked about, Moses, David, and Jesus, all knew that when they were in the desert or wilderness seasons of life, they knew the voice they needed to hear. I'll say it again. When all three of these men, Moses, David, and Jesus, were in desert seasons of life, they knew the voice they needed to hear. Moses knew it, David knew it, and Jesus knew it. When I feel like I'm in a desert, I need to remind myself, listen to me, of what is written. What is written? What does the written word of God? As followers of Jesus, we have both an opportunity and, dare I say, a responsibility. A responsibility to hear the voice of the Lord. Why would you say a responsibility? Because My sheep, they listen to me. Your children have a responsibility to hear you and heed your instructions, parents. They do. Well, God would say the same. You have a responsibility to do what I'm asking you to do. It's your responsibility to follow through the instructions I'm giving you because my sheep listen to my voice and they follow me. They follow me. We have an opportunity, responsibility to hear the voice of the Lord. If you won't go without that which feeds the body, if you won't go without that which feeds the body, why would you go without that which feeds the soul? It's because somehow you've allowed to get it twisted in your mind that your body matters more than the soul. No, it does not. That's one of the greatest tricks of the enemy. Get you so roused up about your body that you forget about and neglect the soul. One of the first things that I tell my staff here is, and they could ask you, what's the first thing he tells the staff? The first thing I tell the staff when they come on staff here is the number one responsibility. You won't be able to hear this, but what's the number one responsibility I told you when you got hired here? Have a healthy soul. If your soul ain't healthy, forget it. So many of us spend billions of dollars we spend on the body. Can you imagine what the world would look like if we invested just half of that into our souls? Jesus knew where I need to turn when I'm in a desert. It's the soul. When we need to hear God's voice, begin by asking yourself this question. Here's what I can take you home today, this with you. Apply this question to your life. Parents, dads, moms, grandparents. When you're helping your friends out in scenarios, great question to ask. Here's the question. What does the written word of God say about this? You could save yourself a lot of trouble debating on social media if you just start here. And don't just give your opinion. I didn't say give your opinion. What does God say about this? And then let me go research it for as long as I can to make sure I get the right answer. If you need to hear God about your marriage, what does God's word say about it? What is written about it? If you need to hear God about parenting, what does the Bible say about it? What does God's word say about it? If you need to hear God about social issues, what does God's word say about it? Okay? And make sure if you're going to go do the research, you do the full research. Don't just try to find one verse and pull it out of context and, you know, well, the Bible says that women should submit. Did you read the whole thing? Do you understand what you're reading? You know, make sure you do the homework. If you need to hear God about what to do about a situation, look into His Word. I encourage you to follow along with us as we read through the Gospels together as a church. That's why we're reading through them. The reading plan is available for you online. We're doing it for 40 days. So keep reading with us. Grab your pen. And let me tell you, listen to his voice. What is God speaking to you? What is he saying? And the reason Jesus wants, I want you to know this, to follow his voice, it's because his voice that leads you to eternal life. We'll wrap it up with this. John 10, 27. We started with 26. We'll end with 27. Look what it says. My sheep listen to my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And if you want to know the reason why Jesus wants you to listen to his voice, it's because of this right here. Because what David said in Psalm 23 is what Jesus says here in John 10. It says, my sheep listen to my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And the reason why it's so important they listen to my voice is because I'm the one that gives them eternal life. Not momentary life, not life till you're 80, eternal life. And they shall never die. This is what my words do. They lead you to eternal life so you don't ever die. Anybody want to sign up for that one? You know, I'm the only one here. So anybody online? Okay. It's going to be a nice place for me alone. It's awesome. This will be great. Okay. No one will snatch them out of my hand. I'm going to protect you. And even if your body falls away, the soul will remain in my hand. And then when you come to me, you get this new body. And I know me. I've already got my submission in. 6'2", about 180 pounds, and ripped. It's going to be nice. I can't wait. I got it all designed. I submitted an email. It's good. He knows. His voice leads us to salvation. And the good news is, this is the gospel message. That we were dead in our sin. Every single one of us has fallen to sin. Falls away from God. Doesn't trust him. Abandons him. Rejects him. All of us falls into categories of lying, stealing, cheating, whatever it may be. Everyone here, no one would say I'm perfect. No one is perfect. But God made a way for us to be made perfect in his eyes so that we could go to this place called heaven, which is perfect, which is without sin, which is without greed, which is without jealousy, which is without, you know, all these diseases and sicknesses. Right? It's this perfect place that we live forever, the way that God originally designed it. But in order for us to go to live in a perfect place, we also have to be perfect. But since we can't be perfect on our own, God sent his son Jesus Christ to die on a cross to forgive us of our sins so that our sins could be forgiven and we would be made perfect in the eyes of God so that when our souls go on, all the sin is removed and we can live in perfect harmony with one another without pain, sickness, disease, in the way that God originally designed this to be prior to sin. That's the gospel message. And that's the reason why it's so important that we learn to hear God's voice. Let's pray together. Jesus, I know that you have spoken. It's your words, it's not mine. And God, I pray that as we hear this message today, Lord, we hear in our hearts this, we hear it today, Lord. You want to communicate with us. Lord, you came, you left heaven to communicate with us in the flesh through Jesus Christ living here on earth. And you perform nonverbal communication with love and tenderness and care. Father, we thank you that you want to communicate with us, and you haven't abandoned us. You don't abandon your children. Lord, I pray only that our faith would be lifted today, that we would hear your voice, God, that we would learn to hear your voice. We would remember that we were designed to hear you, that we have the ability to hear you. And Lord, as we begin to try to figure out what we should do in our life, what decisions to make, listen, if you're making a decision in your life today, just ask yourself, what does the Word of God say? What does God say about this? What does God say about how I should parent? What does God say about this decision? What is God telling me? What does the Word of God say? The greatest place you can start if you want to know what God is speaking to you is the words of God. How should I handle this? Well, what does God's Word say about it? What is God's Word? Some of you today just need to go, I need to go buy a Bible on Amazon. I go get a Bible online. You go find a Bible and just begin to read it. Follow along in the Gospels. I need to do this reading plan. And I just want to look for what is God saying? What does God's Word say about these issues in the world today? What does God's Word say about it? Not what does my mom say? Not what does dad say? What does God's Word say about this? Just start there. Maybe today you want to receive Christ as your Savior. You realize that you are imperfect. And maybe today with what's happening in our world is causing you to contemplate eternal life. And you don't know where you would end up. And you would say, I am not perfect. And if it's going to require perfection to get into heaven, well, that'll never be me. Well, I have good news for you today. Jesus made a way for you. And all you have to do is say, Jesus Christ, I believe in you. I follow you by faith. Just cry out to him right where you are. You say, Jesus, I want to make you the Lord of my life. I want to drop what's in my life, and I want to give it up to you, but I want to remind you of something. It's going to cost you something. In fact, it's going to cost you everything. Jesus would say, count the cost before you follow me, because this is not going to be easy. You have to die to yourself to live for me. If you want to be my disciple, it's going to cost you. But it's worth it, because your soul will go on for eternity. If that is you today, right where you are online or here in person, I encourage you to make that decision. You can tell them right where you are, Jesus, I give you my life today. If you're online with us, we're going to put a connection card up in just a minute. And you can just click the button and we'll walk you through that process to make the decision for Christ, to receive him as your Savior. If you're here in person, on the back of your connection card, you can do the same thing. You can just drop it into the bin. We'll be in contact with you. We'll make a phone call. We want to walk you through the journey and help you to understand what it means to have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ as your Savior and as your Lord. Father, we thank you for this word today. Lord, we're so thankful for all that you have done. Lord Jesus, bless your people. And Lord, as we're in this desert, Lord, I pray that we would hear your voice so that we would enter the promised land that you have for us. Lord, we trust you. We thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.